This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. About a year and a half ago, Matt Damon came out with a movie that he produced and starred in called Promised Land, in which he played a salesman for a big energy company who was going to the farmers of Pennsylvania to try to convince them to sell drilling rights on their land. The energy company wanted to get to the gas underneath there, the natural gas that millions of Americans use to heat their homes. You've heard of fracking. Well, there's been a lot of that going on for years now, and that's what that movie was about.
I grew up in a large farming community. Tractor pulls, cow tipping. We had a Caterpillar plant. My junior year, they closed it down. And that whole farming town fantasy was just shattered. I'm selling the only way they have to get back.
I am happy to announce we will be bringing natural gas to McKinley.
You sign this lease, it gives us the right to drill on your land.
A whole lot of money down there.
That is
true. How much you think?
What kind of money are you talking about?
You could be a millionaire.
Unfortunately, the movie didn't go anywhere, so a lot of people didn't hear some of the stories of some of the people who were in that fictional tale. And they also haven't heard the real-life stories of many of those farmers in Pennsylvania and in other states in this country who have, in effect, been exploited by these big energy companies. My next guest has written a terrific piece about this for ProPublica. His name is Abram Lustgarten, and he joins me now here on America Weekend. Abram, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You wrote about a company called Chesapeake Energy, and before we talk about what they did, put it in perspective, how big is Chesapeake Energy?
When it comes to natural gas drilling, and especially the shale gas drilling, that the fracking boom, Chesapeake is just huge. They're the second largest drilling company in the country. They have the majority of the wells, or a very large part of the wells, in the Marcellus Shale in the Northeast, and they've been a leader in pretty much every single natural gas development across the country, from Louisiana and Texas to Oklahoma.
Okay. Your story is about how that company, Chesapeake Energy, is exploiting those farmers that we saw in that Matt Damon movie and you saw and talked to in real life. What are they doing wrong?
Well, basically, at the start of 2013, landowners who had contracts with Chesapeake Energy saw the expenses that they're being billed for skyrocket. It was a big mystery. People who had contracts with other companies weren't seeing the same expenses. Chesapeake was suddenly charging them and not explaining why, and we set out to figure out what was going on.
Okay, let me stop you. Let me stop you right there. The farmers are paying expenses to the energy company. I was under the impression that essentially the company was paying the farmers for, well, let's call it royalties for digging and drilling on their land. Why are the farmers paying the company?
Well, that's right. In some cases, though, with those contracts where farmers get paid royalties, there's a clause that allows the company to withhold a little bit of a portion of that royalty to cover the joint expenses that the farmers and the company might both share. So the idea is they're sort of in business together. If it costs a little bit of money to pipe that gas off the market and the contract that they signed allows it, then the landowner, the farmer, is responsible for paying the same proportion of those expenses as he is winning the same proportion of royalty payments.
Let me guess, expenses are not specifically laid out in the contracts.
They often are not, and that's where we're seeing landowners being taken advantage of.
Give me examples.
Well, what we're looking at, the one person I wrote about is named Joe Drake. He's a farmer in upstate northern Pennsylvania. His contract is very vague. He was verbally and via handshake ensured that expenses would be no big deal. But what he sees on his checks now is a line item for what's called gathering, and that's the fee for the small pipe, using the small pipeline that connects his farm to the big pipeline where the gas is actually shipped off to market. Where Joe Drake made a bunch of thousands of dollars, when the gas was first being drilled on his property, suddenly those gathering fees amounted to many, many thousands of dollars themselves, and his actual payments is what he actually profits is down to a couple hundred dollars a month.
And this guy Joe Drake you're talking about, in case anybody thinks, oh, well, maybe Joe's an environmentalist, he's a whiner. No, he's a dairy farmer who you say has a bumper sticker on his F-250 pickup that says, drill, baby, drill. He couldn't wait to have these guys come in there and start fracking on his land, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just Joe Drake. I mean, I talked to dozens of landowners, who don't share the same environmental concerns that a lot of the environmental activists do at the moment around drilling. They're eager for the, for the economic stimulus of drilling. And they've really been a proponent of allowing drilling on their lands and having it come into their communities. And so these are the people that are now really thinking twice.
And the company essentially lied to them.
Well, the company puts on their statement that they have certain charges, and they say that it's the actual cost of moving that gas. Joe Drake says they lied because they said they told him that those charges would never amount to much. Whether or not they're actually lying about what those charges are, I think remains to be seen. I was really interested in trying to get to the bottom of what they are charging for, what their actual expenses are.
And you found that Chesapeake Energy, through an amazing process of vertical integration, is using companies that were its own subsidiaries and then paying them, and only to find the money end up back in their own pockets, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's enormously complicated, but the Cliff Notes version of it is that Chesapeake needed money and it sold some of its companies. And the company that bought them paid more than those companies were worth. They basically gave them $5 billion for something that might have been worth about $3 billion. And so you might ask why they got such a good deal. And the reason is that at the same time, Chesapeake agreed to pay them back, agreed to pay higher fees over long-term contracts that stretch for 10 or 20 years, to pay a higher than market rate fee for the gathering. And in that fashion, they're paying back the extra $2 billion and probably a lot more. What gets passed on to Joe Drake is the expense of that. It's essentially a finance fee. And it's interesting because, securities regulations in the United States require that publicly traded companies disclose all of the debt that they have to their shareholders. And this is a form of debt for a long time hadn't been disclosed by Chesapeake and is now alluded to in their most recent filing, but which they've basically gone to great length to not make very obvious.
Has any of this affected the price of natural gas on the market? As a person who heats his house with natural gas, have I been getting ripped off because of what these companies have been doing to these landowners?
Well, I think that's the short answer is no, or at least that I have no evidence of that. But it's such a complicated market and complicated system that it's very difficult to connect the issues. Gas fetches different prices based on what region it's produced in and how far it needs to travel. There's a lot of people and probably a lot of questionable behavior between the gas being pulled out of the ground and sold to you as a consumer. But there's probably a lot of different issues that are responsible for that besides the one that I'm looking at today.
Now, as you pointed out, this is not just in Pennsylvania. It's in Louisiana. It's in Texas. It's in Colorado. It's in Arkansas. It's in Oklahoma. It's all over the place. And it's not just Chesapeake Energy that's in this business. Chevron recently tried to pay off a town where they had a problem with fracking by giving them pizza and soda. Probably not even as much as Joe Drake got out of it for his trouble. But I know that BP is involved in this and ConocoPhillips. So we're talking about some of the biggest energy companies. Are they doing to the people who own the land that they are drilling on, are those other companies doing to them the same thing that Chesapeake is doing?
Well, I haven't seen them doing the exact same thing, and I want to be careful because each situation is unique, and so I chose to look at one specific scenario, and I dug deeply into Chesapeake's financial reporting document.
Okay.
But in general, every company has had some sort of dispute over whether they are accurately reporting expenses and fairly paying royalties. There are dozens and dozens of lawsuits, federal and civil, some criminal charges. I note some of those cases and some of those settlements in my story. They stretch across the country, and it's been happening for a long, long time. So the big picture is that I haven't seen an oil company or a gas company that has not, at some point in time, been accused of underpaying its royalties. And the big picture is that there's always a tension there of the companies trying to pay as little as they can, and the people who own the land, whether it's federal government owning land or farmers owning land, trying to and having to pay lawyers to get what they're entitled to. Whether they do that through the exact same peak has done it in this case, that's another question that's a little bit more specific.
You mentioned that Joe has a deal where he has to pay these expenses to Chesapeake, but not every contract is like that. Is this a case of Joe Drake not getting an attorney to look these papers over and saying, okay, well, I'm a handshake kind of guy, and if you guys say that this is a good deal, I'm going to accept your word for it?
To some degree, that's an issue, and that comes up across the places where I've been reporting. There can often be a degree of naivety. There can be even naivety on the behalf of lawyers. Who do look at these contracts for the landowners. But it's also, it's a complex moving puzzle. So Joe Drake's contract was signed in 2007 before the boom really had swept away northern Pennsylvania. I've looked at cases in Oklahoma where a family had signed a contract in the 1920s. And once that contract is signed, it's kept operable and it becomes the guiding legal document. And in that time, the drilling industry changes, the technology changes, and the legal interpretations change. What I'm trying to say is that when some of these contracts were signed, being so concerned about expenses for royalties may or may not have been an issue. It might have been very justified in accepting the way the language was worded in the contract at that time. And what's happened since then is that Chesapeake and other companies like Chesapeake have gone back and looked at their contracts and said, well, if we really wanted to push the boundaries here, how much wiggle room do we have? How much more money could we squeeze out of this without, being, in defiance of the semantics of what's written on those pages?
And squeeze money they have. They saved the company, turned it around, turned it into a hugely profitable venture. Have Joe Drake and his fellow landowners in Pennsylvania or any others across the country who are being treated this way by Chesapeake, have they got any legal recourse?
That varies depending on who you talk to. Joe Drake, like many farmers in Pennsylvania, is prohibited from suing the company or from joining a class action lawsuit. He's required to go to arbitration, which is just an immensely expensive and complicated legal process that he has a very small chance of winning. So it's a very frustrating situation to be in for him. But Chesapeake is facing a number of lawsuits at the moment across the country, not just in Pennsylvania, all alleging similar things, and so are other companies for that matter. And they're going to win some of those and they're going to lose some of them. As I noted in the story, in total, Chesapeake has paid out hundreds of millions of dollars in suits that they have lost.
Interesting. If you'd like to see more of what Abram has reported here in what is a very in-depth investigation, you'll find a link to it on my website, harrisonline.com. Abram Lustgarten, reporter for ProPublica. Thanks so much for telling the story and joining me to share it with our audience today.
Thank you for having me on.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.